In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.
So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. On Sunday night, Abuna Marcus spoke to us about the gifts that the Lord Christ gave us, or He's going to give us during the Holy Week. And on Monday night, thank you, Michael spoke about the example of the fig tree and how it looks good from the outside, but bearing no fruits from the inside. As for us, we are also the vineyard of the Lord, and the Lord is requesting us to bear fruit as well, not plant thorns. On Tuesday, yesterday, I have Amir speaking about the silence of the Lord sometimes during the tribulations and the afflictions. And how should we really be trusting the Lord with all our hearts, even during the tribulations? Tonight, I would like to contemplate on two main events and two main characters. But before we do that, we'd like to give you a summary of the readings during the day and during the night. So during the day, the majority of the prophecies from Exodus was speaking about the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel to the Lord. So we read from our one, from Exodus 17, verse 7. The people actually crossed the sea, and the Lord has asked Moses to, like, stretch his hands and divide the Red Sea so that people can cross on foot. They did that. And then, while they are walking, they arrived to a place, and then there was no water. So they grumbled and revolted against Moses, saying, "Why did you bring us here? There is no water. You're going to kill us, and you're going to kill our children." So this is what it says in Exodus 17:7. "Thus he called the name of that place Massa and Meribah, which means grumbling and quarreling, because of the abusive language of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" So they were not faithful to the Lord. They are not trusting the Lord with all their hearts. They totally forgot everything the Lord has brought and has given them while crossing the Red Sea. That was our one today. On our three, from Exodus still, at that time, they said, God was leading the people of Israel in the desert of the Red Sea. He was leading them with a pillar of cloud, as we all know, pillar of cloud during the day and pillar of fire during the night. He was leading the way. And in Proverbs it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Okay, so again in the same theme. On the sixth hour of today, from Exodus 14, the church is reading the memoir of Job. So the church has presented us the unfaithfulness of the people of Israel towards the Lord. But on the sixth hour, it reminded us that there was another character in the Old Testament who was very faithful, even during his tribulations and his afflictions. And in fact, Job has lost everything. He has lost his wealth. He was very wealthy. He has lost his sons and daughters. And then, because of the envy of Satan, he was also, like, you know, plagued by diseases. And at last, actually, he tried to take his wife as well, because he was enticing his wife to leave him because he was sick. And if we read during the sixth hour of today, it says that he was sick for 7 years, and Satan was telling the woman, okay, the wife of Job, that he would be sick for another 14 years. So he was enticing her to leave him. So he lost everything, basically. But we remember that during all of his afflictions, he never lost trust in the Lord. He kept faithful. And this is what he said. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And at the time, the devil departed in shame because he couldn't make Job fall in the temptation. If we leave the sixth hour and we go to the ninth hour, we see that the people has grumbled again against Moses because there was no water. The same story exactly. So the Lord told Moses, like the first time, you struck the rock and it gushed water. This time I want you to speak to the rock before the people of Israel and it will give you water. So this is what the Lord told Moses in Numbers 20, 7 and 8. Take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together, speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water for you. We know that Moses did not strike the rock as the Lord told him. He did not speak to the Lord. To the rock, but he struck the rock like the first time. So he did not exactly obey the words of the Lord. So we're going to keep that in mind later on. That was the reading of the day. The readings of the night, we see in the Gospel of Matthew and Gospel of St. Mark, third and ninth hour, the main events was the lady, the woman, we don't know her name. She's in Bethany. She went to the house of Simon the leper. And she anointed the head of the Lord with oil, very expensive oil. It was estimated at 300 denarii at the time. A huge sum of money. Even the disciples around were grumbling, why is this waste? We could have sold this nard for 300 denarii and spent it on the poor. At the time, actually, one denarii is just the wage of one laborer a day, meaning 300 denarii would be sufficient for a whole family to live off for a year. This is how much she spent. She gave everything. So that was about the women. And in the meantime, we read about the betrayal of Judas, the disciple. So that was the two main events in the readings of the night. So tonight, I want to talk about the betrayal of Judas and the woman who anointed the Lord's head. So information about Judas, we all know that Judas is one of the disciples. He was in the close circle of the Lord, very close. He was given power, like the rest of the disciples, to maybe cast out demons and to cure diseases. Remember when the Lord gave them the authority to go? And they went in a mission, and they went back. They were very joyful, and they told the Lord, Lord, even the demons are coming out in your name. They are submitting to us in your name. He was one of these disciples. Judas as well was the treasurer of the money box. So the Lord gave him the office to keep the money, supposedly to spend from this money on the poor. But according to St. John, he was a thief and he was stealing from the money box. So Judas was a disciple. He had all the privileges of a disciple. And though he is a disciple, he betrayed the Lord. We read in St. Matthew 26, 15, he went to the chief priests and the Pharisees and he told them, what are you willing to give me? And I will deliver him unto you. What are you willing to give me? In Luke 22, 47, Judas approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? So I wanted to contemplate on one point in Judas' story and betrayal. And that point is, I would like us to see the patient love of Christ that should lead us to repentance. The patient love of Christ that should lead us to repentance. So Christ, until the end, until the last time, was trying to win back Judas. Even when he told him, he was delivering the Lord with a kiss, but he was appealing to him at the same instant of his treason, telling him, Judas, are you delivering the Son of Man with a kiss? And Judas had no reply. What did he do? He could have said, Lord, I sinned. Forgive me, Lord. He didn't. It was total silence. And that was total silence was more than sufficient for him to lose his soul and lose everything with it. So remember this. But maybe, like, you know, we shouldn't be too harsh on Judas, because sometimes we do the same. Or sometimes we all have little Judas inside us too, right? Judas sold the Lord for a handful of silver coins. But we too sometimes sell his love for so many things. Sometimes we sell his love for a relationship, a sinful relationship. Sometimes we sell his love for a site on the internet. Sometimes we sell his love for, like, you know, getting wealthy and making more money or whatever. We have so many reasons to sell the Lord love for. So I want to remind you that we are living in the church, and we are serving in the church, and we're in a very close circle of the Lord Christ. But remember, we are not immune of turning into a betrayer later on. And each one of us should really examine his heart and examine his spiritual life. The problem here is, you think, I don't think the problem with Judas that he was a thief as much as he was not repenting. If we compare Judas to Peter, Peter too has denied the Lord, right? And he has sinned. But he repented. He repented. He offered tears of repentance, and the Lord forgave him. Judas, when he was approached by the Lord, did not say anything. Silence. So, it's very important for us to remember, when the Lord approaches us, when the Lord appeals to us to repent, we should not harden our heart. We should not harden our heart. No matter how sinful we are, we're not going to be able to do anything that makes God cease to love us. He's going to always love us. He's going to always care about us, even when we are sinners. But having said that, we should respond to his love in repentance. Like, imagine this. Imagine, like, you know, if I close my heart to the Lord's appealing love, and I harden my heart, and I don't give repentance, I don't offer any repentance, what would benefit me, like, you know, even if I'm loving, if I'm floating in the endless and boundless, like, ocean of God's love, but I don't take advantage of this love? Like, exactly like a jar in the Atlantic Ocean, plunged in the Atlantic Ocean, the jar is sealed tight, so it's dry from the inside, as if it's dry on the desert sand, right? So I don't take any advantage of it. I harden my heart. I don't take advantage of the salvation that he offered on the cross. I harden my heart, and I reject his mercies. And that's fatal. Remember this icon where they portray the Lord Christ standing, knocking on the door, holding in his hand the lamp of truth, and he's knocking on the door. He's pleading to enter the closed door, right, at the dew of the night. But the door doesn't have any handle from the outside. The door should be open from the inside. That door is us, right? It's our heart. We ought to open our heart to the Lord because He is so much caring about our salvation. And He's not going to give up on us till the end, till the last minute. Always remember that. What we need to do is to open our heart. Every single time we reject the Lord and we harden our heart, it prepares the way for another rejection much easier. Later on, it's like forming a film, like, you know, over another film that will blind our eyes completely one day that we don't hear His voice at all. And we don't react to His love. The patient love of Christ, in fact, has changed a lot of people's life. And I'll give you some examples. Remember the governor Arianus, this cruel governor, right? He martyred thousands of Christians for their faith, just because they are Christians. But the pleading love of Christ converted this persecutor of the faith to a martyr for the very same faith. That was the pleading love. He opened his heart to Christ. The pleading love and the patient love of Christ changed Saul, the persecutor of the way, to the greatest apostle in Christendom, right? St. Paul. The pleading love of Christ changed St. Paul, the hermit. It made it easy for him, actually, to denounce the world and to denounce his rightful inheritance. The examples are unlimited. But the common point is they all responded wisely to the Lord's pleading and calling. Okay, so that was the first point. So the pleading and patient love of Christ should lead us to repentance. This is from the story of the betrayal of Judas. Going to the story of the woman, the woman who anointed the Lord's head with the oil, with the expensive nard, I'd like to contemplate on her faithfulness. Be faithful. So imagine this woman went inside the house. She broke the alabaster flask. She poured it on the Lord's head. Everybody else was there and was, like, you know, watching. She didn't care what would the people think of her. She didn't care how would, like, you know, they see her. We don't know her name. You ask me, what's her name? We don't know. But the Lord honored her. Why do you think the Lord honored her? Because she was very faithful. Very faithful. She gave up everything for the Lord. Everything she had, she gave to the Lord in love. She offered love. She offered tears of repentance in humility. In fact, the Lord, the account of the woman we're talking about today was read in St. Mark and St. Matthew. There was another account of Mary, the sister of Lazarus, who also anointed the Lord's head with oil and washed his feet with her hair, right? So that's a second account. But that happened 6 days before the Passover. And there was a third account in Luke about the sinner woman who went into Simon the Pharisee's house, and she did the same. She anointed the Lord's head, and she washed his feet with her hair. Regardless, all of them offered all what they had in love. The Lord loves faithfulness just because He is very faithful. Very faithful. He's faithful in His love to us. He's faithful till the last drop of His blood. You want to understand faithfulness? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. He gave up everything for us. And He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. But He loved us faithfully. And He continues to love us faithfully. And I promise you, and I tell you, tell me one instance when I was least faithful to the Lord, and he was not. He was always faithful, even when I was least faithful to him. I think the problem with us not being that faithful is we have always divided heart. A divided heart. You understand what I mean? We're always torn. We wanted to give the Lord a portion, but I want to keep a portion for myself as well. Lord, I can give you this, but please let me keep that. It doesn't work. He has to be master of all. We have to give, we have to be able and ready to give everything we have, all the heart, completely. Then he can reign completely on this heart. So we may find that the Lord would ask us, what would you like to give me during the Holy Week? And maybe I said, nothing, Lord. I have nothing to give you. Maybe 10, 15 minutes of prayers every day. But he will take the little, the 10, 15 minutes. And he wants us to be faithful in that little. Can you do that? The 10, 15 minutes, just to be faithful in the 10, 15 minutes. You would be faithful in the little, and he would make you faithful and a ruler on the more. Be faithful. But he has given us everything. When we give back to the Lord, we shouldn't think that we're giving from whatever we have, right? We are giving him back whatever he gave us at first place. He's the source of all good. He is everything we have and we are. So he gave us wealth. He gave us time. He gave us love. We should give back to him through the people. There was a nice saying for Saint Augustine, and he said, if he's not master of all, he's talking about Christ. If Christ is not master of all in my life, in your life, he's not master at all. So now I'm almost finished. I wanted to end by this. In the rites of the church, on Tuesday, we sang on Tuesday, on the 11th hour, this psalm, Pekethronos. Pekethronos. Your throne, O Lord, forever and ever. And today, actually, we sang another psalm with the same tune, and it's called Avechinon. Avechinon. Remember these two, Pekethronos, Avechinon. And we're going to sing the same psalm tomorrow morning at the end of the first hour, Covenant Thursday. So both tunes are sung in the royal tune, royal tune. Remember this. This is very unique tune. So for sure there is a message. The church wanted to give us a message in these, like, you know, rites. What would be the message? And the message would be that, remember, Avechinon is reminding us of Judah. He was inside, but he lost everything. So the church wanted to tell me, remember, you are Christian, you're the child of God, but that doesn't make you immune from losing the way if you don't repent, if you're not faithful. So remember this. So we're going to start the Holy Week Tuesday by Pekethronos, and we have Avechinon on Thursday again, and then we're going to end the Holy Week with Pekethronos on Friday on the 12th hour. So that means when we open our heart to the Lord, and when we are faithful, and we're giving him everything, he's going to be everything. I'm going to be nothing, but he's going to be everything. When he is everything, he's going to reign in my life. And then I'm going to tell him, pick a thronos. Lord, you reign. Your throne is forever and ever. And then, only then, we can have, like, you know, this hope for him to save our souls. And he can pass over, we can pass through him over sin and death. So let's ask the Lord to give us a repentant heart and a faithful heart so we can enjoy the Holy Week and we can enjoy the resurrection, passing over sin and death through him and throughout the way into his kingdom. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
And so dear
of e of